COC, how's it going? You doing all right today? Hey, was that worship not awesome this morning? Was it not really, really good? Sorta. It is great to have you guys today. We are in week number 3 of a series called Balance, and it's been messing me up, and I'm going to share some of that stuff in a very transparent and real way today with you in this particular week, because, wow, that's all I'm going to say, and you'll find out at the end. But here's what we're doing. If you haven't been here, you can catch up on videocasts or podcasts. Go to www.churchcelebration.com, and you can check that out. If you or anybody that you know of is out of balance with your finances and you don't think that God has anything to say about it, please go back and start at the beginning of this series and listen to it, and please come back and invite friends, families. I'm telling you, it will make a world of difference if you would just begin to see, just open up your heart and your mind to see what God might have to say about our finances. So let me give you a recap, though, if you haven't been here, just so you can understand what we're doing and where we've been going with this. The very first week, we talked about how, what we revealed to you what the 3 laws of physical balance are, okay? And the reason why we rolled these out is because these 3 laws of physical balance are very, very closely connected to how you and I would balance our finances according to what the Bible has to say. So these are the first 3 laws of balance, all right? So the very first week, we talked about how you gotta have a reference. Now, you guys have no idea how difficult this is, because as I do this right now, I stare up into spotlights from heaven. Okay, so this is not that easy. I can't even see the dollar sign. So the very first point in law is I gotta have a reference point. These are the 3 laws of physical balance. I gotta have a reference point. So right now in this particular illustration, the dollar sign is my reference point. If I keep my eyes focused on that particular central point, that reference point, it helps me maintain physical balance. Now, how we connected that to our finances was this. We said, in order for you to develop balance, this is a great starting point, a number one area to begin. You need to know where your money's going. So you need to be knowing where your money is. There we go. I love it. Some people are really excited about that, because they haven't done it yet. All right, you know. I need to be knowing where my money is. Okay, now here's why this is so huge. Because in one of the first practical steps that I learned in FPU is every dollar has a name. And anybody did that homework the week one? Raise your hand up high. Anybody say, you know what, I didn't do it the week one, but I did do it last week. Anybody? Raise your hand up. Sweet, sweet. We got some people. Now, if you're doubting this, just last night, following last night's service, and I'm not going to say their name because I didn't ask them for permission, so I'm just going to tell you briefly. They came up to me, and they said, I did that, all right? Now, here's what's crazy, Pastor Josh, is we have been balanced for a few years. You know, we've taken FPU, we've been balanced here, we've paying back some debt, we've been balanced here with saving in all these areas, but we couldn't figure out why things are still so tight. Why are things so tight? So we said, you know what, let's do it for 1 week. Let's see if we can know where our money is going, knowing where our money is going. And you know what? They said it was like an eye-opener. We discovered the one area that is completely out of balance. And we were like, oh my gosh. That is why it's central and vital for you to have a reference point, because I think some of you would be shocked at discovering knowing where your money is going, all right? And that's why we start there. Now, I'm going to jump to number 3 on the 3 laws of physical balance, because we're going to come back to number 2. But last week, our main idea, the third one was this, all right? We got to have a clear objective, a clear objective. Now, my clear objective in this visual illustration is simply this. Keep this pole vertical. Don't let it fall. Maintain balance. Now, the reason why we moved to this theme last week and how this particular law of physical balance connects with our finances is this. We established from Scripture, not Pastor Josh throwing something at you, from Scripture, the clear objective that we are supposed to have concerning our money, our stuff, our finances. That clear objective is simple. that everything belongs to God. Everything comes from God, and everything is ultimately dispensed by God. So if that is fact, if that is truth from Scripture, here's the crazy thing. This is the clear objective as it pertains to our finances and maintaining balance. Then everything, not just a percentage, and I'm not discrediting percentages, the Bible talks about percentage, not just a percentage, but everything, with everything, we are supposed to honor God. Oh, yeah, see, I'm only getting a few amens because not everybody has gotten this whole idea. You know what I'm talking about, okay? This is why it's so difficult when you hear things from the pulpit or in previous churches about percentages, and this is why it freaks us out, because many of us have not got the ownership principle. We have not got the clear objective with our finances. We don't know what it is. We think it's to spend as much as we need to spend, or save as much as we can, or give as much as we can, and that is not the clear objective, and those are not, I'm not discounting those. Those are all a part of helping you maintain balance. But the reality is, the clear objective is, how can I honor God with everything? Everything, all right? And we said last week, I don't know what it looks like for you, but there has to be a moment in your life that you realize that you are out of balance and you are out of control, and all of your past decisions have gotten you nowhere, and you come to a point and you recognize who actually owns your stuff. And you say in a prayerful moment, God, would you please get involved and get me out of the way? Show me, God, show me today, how can I honor you with everything? That's the clear objective. All right, so now we're gonna go to number two. Now we're gonna number two, all right? The first one is reference point. I got my dollar sign, my reference point. Is that right on your side? Okay, it's right on my side, and it's my reference point, okay? All right, so I got a reference point. My objective, keep this thing balanced as best as I can. Now, the second one is interesting, because as you can watch my lower hand, I am constantly making corrections. I have to make constant corrections. All right, I can have my reference point. I can know where all my money's going. And I told you that first week, it's not gonna solve all your financial woes. You're not gonna walk out of here debt-free. All right, I told you that. But that's a starting point, my clear objective, keep this thing balanced. But how do I do that? Along the way, physical balance, I gotta make adjustments. The same thing happens with our financials, or with our finances. Along the way, God is gonna come to you, you're gonna come to you, and you're gonna be like, I need to make constant corrections, or it's gonna stay out of balance. And if I'm unwilling to make the constant corrections, what's gonna ultimately happen? Crash. And I am going to be seriously out of balance and continually be out of balance with my finances. Okay, so here's why we land on number two this week. Is that right? Sweet. I need to get a drink because I'm dry right now. And I got like 6 hours worth of a message to you. For the next few weeks, I want to talk to you about some very common constant corrections that connect with all of us with our finances. Nobody is excluded from this. I mean, there's a lot more, but these are three primary things that we've got to give our attention to, and we've got to be willing to make constant corrections if we want to bring balance into our financial life. And we already established, remember, if I ignore any of the three laws, what happens? Things are out of balance. And remember what we talked about in week number one? We said this: if things are out of balance, you don't always know immediately that they're out of balance. That's the only difference with the three laws of physical balance, okay? Immediately, I'm gonna know that thing falls. But if I am doing things that are completely out of balance with what the Bible says to do with my finances, I don't know right away that things are out of balance until something drastic happens in my life and I look at my bank account and I ain't got no money. Years and years and years of putting it on a card, and all of a sudden you look at your 15 credit card statements, and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know what I'm talking about? And it's not the government's fault, like you think. And we always point the finger at other people, like we said, the current economic crash, that's not your problem, okay? The problem is because of there's a serious economic turndown, it is exacerbated. It has sped up years and years of our misspending, of our mismanagement, and now we're panicking. And now we're panicking, and the government is an easy scapegoat. It's our problem, and until we deal with our problem, then we're gonna continue to have out of balance with our finances. So today, I wanna talk to you about one, probably the biggest constant correction that has in some way, shape, or form affected all of us, okay? That we have got to get serious about and be willing to do things that hurt, do things that cost us to make this constant correction. Here's the constant correction. Ready? Ready? Get ready for this. Get ready for this because it's gonna hurt. Ready? Personal debt. We're talking today in church. Credit and consumer debt. Now, right about now, somebody is out there and you're like, oh no, you did. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, we're talking about church, money in church. That's enough. Now you're getting up into my grill, and you're talking to me about something that you got no business talking about. We're gonna have some words later, you know. And y'all like panicking, like whoa. You ain't got no business talking about that. You know what's crazy? Here's what's crazy. I actually do, because believe it or not, I'm gonna show you today, the Bible actually has things to say about your and my debt, about our consumer and credit debt. I know that comes as a shock for many of us, because you're like thinking, no, yes it does, and I'm gonna show you. Now all of us, in some way, shape, or form, along our life have been impacted by family origin in how we have managed our money. What do I mean by that? How we try to maintain balance or don't maintain balance in our personal finances, all of us have been affected by family origin. It could be passed down by generations, but somehow our parents, grandparents, whoever raised you, they have a direct influence on how you manage or perceive your finances. The first way is this. All of us have been moved into adulthood in some way, shape, or form, and we've been influenced by our family in how we view our finances. That's the positive thing, all right? Whether it was the way that they spent or the way that they saved, the way that they gave, in turn, it has indirectly or directly reflected in how we view our money. Now, the second way that we have been influenced by family origin is this. We have been so affected by our parents and how they managed money and how stickler they were or frugal they were or just frivolous they were. And we said, we do not want anything to do with that way. And when we move into adulthood, here's what we do. We turn around and we book it as fast as we can and run the opposite way in how they did it. This is another way that we are affected. We basically, what I'm saying in essence is we pick up habits from people that are in our past, primarily our parents, good and bad. Now today, because we're talking about a topic that is very, very, very sensitive, it's like the toothache that won't go away. I just said personal credit debt. I took my finger, put it in your mouth, right on your decayed tooth and pressing it, okay? It hurts. Now, instead of embarrassing anybody and asking everybody, hey, anybody got some personal credit debt here? Because I know it'll be like the wave all the way through here, okay? I'm not gonna call anybody out. I'm not gonna bring out a chair and have you sit here and make you an example. Not gonna do that. Thought about it, not gonna do it. I'm gonna use Ginger and I as an example today. I'm gonna throw us under the bus. That rhymes, chairs would like that. I'm gonna be very open and honest and vulnerable with you today. And you're probably sitting out there, well, that's nice. I'd hope that from you as my pastor. I'd hope you're always being honest. But I'm gonna be very vulnerable with you. I'm gonna be very open and sincere and share with you our story, our debt story, our debt journey in hopes that it will help you, in hopes that it will help you and shed some light on this idea, this topic. Now, as I just mentioned, Ginger and I have picked up habits from both of our parents, both positive and negative, in the management of our money. For example, on the positive side, as I said last week, one of the things that we learned to do on a positive side is our parents taught us how to tithe. They taught us how to tithe. Again, I just said another cuss word in church for many of us right there, tithe. All right? They taught us how to tithe. They said, hey, listen, 10%, that's what you give to God. That's what you give to him. That's what he's requested. So this is a positive aspect. So anytime, that has never been a problem for us. That's a habit that we just developed and we're like, it's not a problem for us. Not a problem for us. However, on the negative side, we didn't necessarily agree with everything they said, or we didn't necessarily listen to everything they said or demonstrated for us. And we, early in our marriage, sometimes just to survive, ran as fast as we could in the opposite way. And in that particular area, it was with credit. Now, many of us have come to this conclusion with our finances when we've moved into adulthood. If I am smart enough to make my own money, and dadgummit, I am smart enough to manage my own money. Now, can I just tell you this from personal experience? Nothing could be farther from the truth than that. Many of you are scared to death because you have an 18-year-old that is about ready to graduate and they have no concept on what a dollar means. You're freaking out. You're freaking out. See, because that is not true. That is not how it works. And that is exactly how Ginger and I thought. For the most part, Ginger and I, another thing that we learned from our parents in our homes is this, is our parents both practice this type of a principle. If you borrow money, there's a condition with it. There's a condition with it. If you borrow money for anything, then it needs to be able to increase on its value. You understand what I'm talking about that? Homeowners, the five of us that are in Maricopa that are here today. You know exactly what I'm talking about, though. The mortgage that we pay, that we've borrowed money to buy a house, it will increase. It's a form of a savings plan. So our parents have kind of lived this way. You just didn't do that. So therefore, outside of mortgages, our parents didn't have a whole lot of debt. This is something that they practiced. We also were fortunate enough, like I just said, to be raised by godly parents that taught us to honor God with everything, everything. So this was never a problem with us. This was never a problem with us. The reason I'm telling you this, though, as I've shared some positive and some negative, is not to portray that Ginger and I are some holy, righteous, godly, balancing our finances people, because we are not. And I'm gonna share with you some very specific stuff. We are not. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you this. The reality is, in spite of what we've been taught by some wonderful biblical principles about managing our money, Ginger and I ran the opposite direction on numerous occasions early in our marriage, and it continued for a while. You know what's crazy? Until the point in which we had to use it, or so we thought, because of all of our frivolous spending on things that we thought we needed, but we just wanted, we got to a point. Now I know I'm striking a nerve, because some of you are right out there and you are understanding, yes, I have to use it. I'm in bondage to it. If I don't have it, I can't survive. Listen, we borrowed money and accumulated a great amount of debt. We fell for the trap that if we are old enough to make our own money, we are smart enough to manage our own money. What am I saying about this point right here? Listen, I as your pastor, Ginger, as sweet, angelic lady that she is, we are just as materialistic as you are. Listen, I am just as much a big fan and enamored by newer, faster, shinier as anybody. I'm still infatuated with stuff. But about 7 to 10 years ago, when we moved to Maricopa, Ginger and I decided, listen, we really need to do something about this. For the first time in about 10 years, we had been both we both had a salary. We both were making money. We were like, for the first time, we were making okay money. Okay money. And God says, I want you to move to the desert and I want you to do this. And we're like, God, have you seen the luggage of debt that we have? You want us to carry that out there too? Because here's the reality. In order to do that, we had to give up two salaries, go to no salary, cutting our budget in half, completely trusting God, and trying to make a commitment to God to pay off our debt. This was not an easy thing. This was a challenge. But Ginger and I decided that we were going to make some goals about our finances, and this is as good a time as ever to do something about our past mismanagement and try to make some serious attempts at regaining balance. The first thing that we did was this. We established a reference point. We needed to begin knowing where all of our money was going. All right? And that became a really hard reality when you had to take your budget and cut it in half. If you don't pay attention to that, things are gonna get worse and worse and worse. But here's ultimately the starting point beyond knowing where our money was going. We determined this. There's one thing that we're not gonna give up. We're not gonna give up how much we give. It's not gonna happen, okay? So we determined in a percentage form, what do we want to give annually? Now, I said percentage. I said percentage, and I believe that as much as the Bible talks about money and finances, it does speak in general terms of percentages, and it relates well to you and me. So let me give you an example. How many of you know how much of your salary, how much of a percentage of your salary do you live on? Very few of you. Now, I mean, seriously, when we ask that, we kind of think, whoa, I make this much, 100%. It's all gone after the first week. And so, but I guess 100%, that's how much I live on. 100%, that's how much. Okay, did you factor in how much your car payment is, how much your mortgage payment? And you're like, well, yeah, but how much your debt payment is, how much your credit card payment is. And you're like, well, yeah, but 130%. And how much do you give? And I'm like, I ain't got no money to give. And it's a bit, the first thing Ginger and I started to do when we decided to do something about the reality of debt, which we had a lot of it, this is not gonna change. We're still gonna be generous. We're still gonna be generous from the top. Now here's why. For Ginger and I, it's very easy. I'm scared not to give. I'm scared to think of what and how out of balance my stuff would be if I assumed making all the decision making, which I've already done a poor job with the majority of it, which we learned in second week that none of it belongs to us anyway. Okay, so number two, we also determine how much do we want to save with what we're going to bring in. As a pastor, I have an opportunity within the first 2 years of being licensed to opt out of Social Security. I did that. Part of the reason is because I didn't think it would be around eventually if God tarried and I retired. I am a genius, because it may not be around. But with that, I needed to take care of my family, because if I died and I don't have any type of a 401k or something like that, so we determined we gotta give and put away to save some money to take care. If I die, life insurance policy, these kind of things. So we determined how much of a percentage do we need to be saving. And then the last thing, which was more of a reality than anything else that we really had to do, is this. We had to determine this in our hearts. We want to get out of debt. I am tired of it. For years, we have never realized the bondage that we were in. You don't always remember, you don't always realize how out of balance you are until later on. We're like, we're done with this. Now, guys, listen. Until we decided not only that we wanted to do something, but we needed to do something about it, did this start to begin to take place. Now, for Ginger and I, personally, this has been huge. This has been huge because we have been enslaved for years and years and years of consumer debt. Now, I'm going to spare you the details. I'm not even going to tell you that stuff because I don't want any type of comparison stuff thing and all that. Listen, thousands upon thousands of dollars of debt, multi-thousands that we have had accumulated over time. I'm serious. It was big. And you, listen, and I know, I don't even need to tell you the number because all of you are like, right there, myself. You know what I'm saying? You know exactly what I'm talking about. This is a message that is preaching to the choir. And until Ginger and I made a goal to make difficult life adjustments, buckle down, make the constant corrections that guess what? Will cost you. They will hurt you. It will happen. It's not going to be easy. And I'm not sitting here telling you that it has been easy. It's going to cost you. It is nowhere close to being as easy as it has been to getting into it. All right? Until we decided to make it a spiritual journey like none other before, can I tell you today that not only can we see light at the end of the tunnel, no longer do we know that it's been an oncoming train. Okay? Now, for years, Ginger and I, probably like many of you, lived under this false reality. With a simple signature, we could improve our standard of life. With a simple signature. We learned that. And for years, Ginger and I did just that. We're like, ba, 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 ba. Now, you and I both know today, I don't need to reinvent the wheel, but there are two basic ways of improving our standard of living, unless you win the lottery. And if you do, we are gonna buy land. Because I'll know who you are. And you will need a tax break. Listen, there are two basic ways that we can improve our standard of living. The number one way, save, spend wisely, work hard, maintain balance. That is one particular way that we can improve our standard of living. The other way that all of us at some point in time falling for, we can use credit and then we can incur debt. Now listen clearly about these two styles of improving our standard of living. One is fast, and we all have experienced that. One is slow. One of them brings peace, and one of them brings, whoa. That's what it brings. Now, I want to share with you today three simple verses that have impacted Ginger and I as we determined this goal about 7 to 10 years ago. Greatly. It takes some simple steps to do something about your debt, about our debt. Now, for many years, now let me say this before I go farther, for the years and years and years that Ginger and I used the credit card to do this or do that, pursue the fast and furious lifestyle, to improve our standard of living, to get to the point in which we had to use it to survive. For the years and years and years, all of that stuff that was supposed to provide me a bump in my standard of living, an improvement to the quality of my life. Looking back now and knowing what it's cost me, I'm telling you what we have done in the last 7 to 10 years, I have never, ever, ever felt more peace than what those things were supposed to provide me with, which was peace. I just wanna say that before we go farther. Turn your Bibles, Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy 28:12. Now let me give you a little background here. The nation of Israel is about to enter into the promised land, okay? And we know all about the nation of Israel, a lot of the Old Testament is about it. God is basically making a deal with them in this moment. And he's speaking through Moses, and Moses is his spokesperson on behalf of God to the nation of Israel. And this is what his deal is all about. He says this, if you follow me, nation of Israel, children of mine, if you follow me, then I will bless you. I will bless you with everything. I will bless you with everything. But if you don't expect my blessings. Now remember, this is to the nation of Israel, but it really does have some very, very close connection to you and me today, doesn't it? If we honor God with everything. Okay, so Deuteronomy 28:12. This is what the passage says. Ready? It says this. This is one passage about debt. debt in the Bible. Ready? It says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and bless all the work of your hands. If you do this for me, if you honor me, if you bless me, I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna blow you away. And listen to this promise. This is a promise from God. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Guys, this is a passage on debt, on credit debt. Do you understand what this means? God, in essence, is saying, based on the condition of my promise to you, you will be a lender. You will have the money. You will be a lender, and you will not have to be a lendee. How does that connect with credit? Listen, basically, the Bible is telling us right here, when a person is in a position to have to borrow, it is an indication, a sign, that things are not going well for you. If you are finding, now you know, many of us know that. We're like, I get that. Things aren't going well. That's why I have to use it. So you are experiencing it firsthand. Now, the problem is with our culture is this, is everywhere you look, there's an enticing pitch. Go to the local mall. Go watch a credit card, a television commercial. Wherever you go in the consumer world, you'll hear this pitch. Hey. Things apparently are going phenomenal for you. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna give you an exclusive opportunity to act like things aren't going well for you. Congratulations. Sign right here. You know what that means? Let me translate it for you. That means this. No money down, no interest for 36 months. 18.99% interest at the end of the 36 months, plus accrued interest. False advertising. Now, our country wasn't always this way. Pre-credit, there used to be a time that if your washing machine broke down, you would go to the local hardware store, JCPenney, and you would take in their cash, $100. And you would say, see this washing machine right here? You tell the sales clerk, I want you to take this washing machine off of the floor. I want you to move it back into the warehouse, put my name on it. Here is $100 for it. Next week, I'm coming back to give you another $100. Then the next week, I'm gonna give you another $100. Then the next week, I'm gonna give you another $100. And I'm gonna keep coming and pay for that thing. And when it is completely paid off, I want you to deliver it for free to this address. What was that called? What was that called? Layaway. And all of those that are under 30 are like, lay what? Lay what? Huh? Guys, here's the amazing, there was a time in our country that if you had debt, it was a sign that things weren't going well for you. And people avoided it like the plague. So if they didn't have the money for it, guess what they did? They put it on layaway. Until they did have the money for it. Novel idea. And here's what's amazing about layaway. When you finally made your final payment on something that you finally got it, it was brand new. It was brand new. And guys, so many of us have been so impulsive with our credit cards. Let's be honest, there are things right now that we bought right there on the spot. And if you thought long and hard about it, you don't have a stinking clue of where it is right now. It's tucked away in some closet. It's underneath the 15 boxes in the garage. You sold it for 1% of its worth 2 weeks later at your garage sale. You ate it. And yet this is the system, the world that we live in. And God is saying, why? Why in the world would you want to be in debt? Being in debt is like wearing a huge neon sign that says, things aren't going well for me. And it wasn't until Ginger and I realized this first thought that it was a clear indicator. Here's your sign, Josh. Things aren't going well for you. And all of your decision-making in the past on getting it better, improving it, haven't worked for you. Until we got this idea, did we not begin to make steps about doing something about it? Check out the next verse, Proverbs 22:7. Turn there. You got your Bibles? Turn there. I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. If you don't have one, we got them for free out in the back. Please, please don't rely just on the screens. 1 week, we're just gonna not put them up there. All right, Proverbs 22:7. Here it is, ready? Another passage about debt. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. Okay, right here in this passage, God says there are no qualifications. He is saying this to the wisest man in the world at the time, Solomon, who has more money than all of our world times 100. This guy, brilliant, asked for wisdom. When God says, what do you want? I'll give you, I want wisdom. And all right, since you asked for that, I'm giving you, we're talking this. This is who he tells us to. And in this moment, he says this in essence to the wisest man in the world. Solomon, I have looked over this world. I have seen what's going on. Listen, here's what I have determined. When someone else owes someone else, they become in some capacity a slave to the person that they owe. This is God telling, so, this is what I am seeing. And in essence, God is saying, that is not what I want for you. I want you to be free. I want you to live in freedom. I want you to be able to serve me freely. And when you are enslaved to debt, your master, to someone else, to something, you can't do that. You are a servant and slave to who you owe. And here's the interesting thing, because it is with me, and this is why I don't want this to be a condemning message, because you're like, you already have no business talking about my debt. Listen, many of us, we have not purposely pursued this way of life. For many of us, it has taken years upon years of purchasing and buying our ways into what we now know as slavery. Remember what we said earlier? It doesn't always appear to be out of balance until we wake up one day and we're in chains. And we have no clue of how to get out of it. And God is saying, why in the world, child of mine, son, daughter, why in the world would you do that for stuff? Why would you do that for status? Why would you so easily give up your freedom? Why would you make yourself a slave? The answer is simple. And I say this because this self-admission. We lack self-control. John chapter 15 tells us that apart from God, we can do. So why in the world have we been living years as if we can do everything? We cannot control ourselves. And it got to the point in which Ginger and I thought we were in control, and we realized we were out of balance, out of control with our finances. And until we decided to do something about it, turn to your last passage, Proverbs chapter 25. Just a couple chapters over. Proverbs 25, verse 28. This speaks directly to self-control, which is directly connected to debt. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Once again, guys, the wisest man in the world says this. You want to talk about a word picture? You want to talk about something powerful that when I read this, it was massive motivation for me to do something about our situation. In essence, it's saying this. You are somewhat the leader of your city, the leader of your house, the leader of your finances. You are the leader of your finances. And if you lack the ability to control it, to maintain balance with it, with what's going on with your finances in your city, and you get out of control with it, you completely and utterly open yourself up to complete and utter vulnerability, open for attack for the enemy to overtake you. And before you know it, before you realize it, because it will take years sometimes to realize the problem that we have created of being out of balance. Before you realize it, you will wake up one day and your city, your finances will be overtaken. And you have surrendered yourself as a slave to that enemy, debt. In short, this is huge, by not exercising self-control, you give over control to your enemy. By not exercising self-control, you give up control to someone else. And somebody here today, probably a lot of us, will sit out there and if we're really honest, would say, I have no control over my finances. I am out of balance. And you don't know what to do about it. I've been there. I have been there. So when you ask God, if you got to the point where you're like, ask God, would you help me? What do you think your heavenly Father would say to you? In that moment that things are completely out of control, you're enslaved, you have demonstrated years of self-control or a lack of self-control. What do you think God, a heavenly Father, would say to you? He'd say this, get back in control. Get out of debt. And this is not a heavenly Father saying, naughty, naughty, naughty. That is not what he's doing. Listen, this is a heavenly Father that desperately loves you and thinks this particular topic is massive to your spiritual condition. He's saying this, get out of that way of life. Come back to me. Get back in control. And the promising truth is this, because I can tell you this in our own life, you can do it. You have heard countless stories of people that have reprioritized, learned how to be generous, learned how to give, tithe, things like that, done things hard that cost them, but they have done it. Why? Because they were willing to make the continual, constant corrections with their debt. Now, this is why this is so important today. This is why this is so highly spiritual and unbelievably rich. When we are enslaved to things like the car that we drive, what we're going to eat, come on, everybody here knows today where you're going to eat after church. Or we're enslaved to what type of TV we're gonna have hanging on our wall, or where we're going to live, or what we wear. Do you realize something? When you are enslaved to those things, it impacts severely your ability, not your desire, your ability, not your willingness, your ability to be generous. And do you know why this is so highly spiritual? You and I were created in the image of a generous God. It is within our nature to be generous. And when we can't be generous, it hurts. Seriously, think about this just for a minute. How many times have you sat, let's just use church for an example. You sat in church, or we put in front of you sex trafficked people from Fiji, or Matt just gets back from India, and we're like, oh my gosh. And we roll out something. You kidding me? You can invest. You can invest with your time, your talents, and your treasures in Maricopa Trick or Treat. Put Jesus in front of 15,000 people for 7 hours. Are you kidding me? We all naturally are drawn there. Or a family member comes, you're like, we have fallen on hard times. We need a little help. Could you help us with this area? And in your heart, you are dying. You are saying, your heart is telling you, give, give, give. But your Visa bill is saying, pay, pay, pay. Guess who wins? Every time you are presented an opportunity to be generous, like God created you to be. Every time the offering basket passes in front of you, no one's doubting you and your want to give. You can't give. Guess who wins? Every time. Your master, your car payment, your Visa bill, your Amex statement, your master, my master, always wins. This one hit home. Have you ever found yourself in this place? Why is it that I can't give to people in need because I've spent so much on stuff I don't need? And the God of scriptures, who's made this topic highly spiritual, is sitting here each and every week saying, come out of that. Get rid of all those other masters. Surrender everything to me. Let me be your master. Now, here's the reality, folks, and I'm almost done. 30 minutes left. That's it. Here's the reality, because I know where you're feeling. I know where you're at. Been there, still kind of there. We drift our way into debt, but we have to dig our way out of it. It's so easy to do it, so hard to stop it. So many of us, for years and years and years, we just, it's the easiest thing to do. And God's saying, no, you need to work for it. You need to make the constant corrections for it. It will be so much more worth it. Okay, so I'm gonna share with you in closing a pretty remarkable story, a pretty amazing story that happened this week. This week, not by coincidence with this particular topic, happened this week for Ginger and I. I'm gonna share it with you in just a minute. Before I get there, I just wanna set the stage. Listen to this. I wrestled, because it dealt directly with our finances and with our debt, and I wrestled, should I even share this? Because they're gonna sit there and they're gonna be like, yeah, but you're the pastor. That kind of stuff happens all the time to you. If you need to come hit me in the face sometime just to see that I'm real and bleed just like you bleed, go ahead and do it, okay? I experienced the same things that you do, okay? But I wrestled. I'm like, God, should I even share this? How do I share this? What do I say? How specific? And he's like, you better share it. You have a responsibility to the people that you shepherd to share with them the possibilities of what can come if they involve me in their finances and they do something about it. If you don't, boy, we're gonna have a talk. If you have ever doubted that God is a God of specifics, you're dead wrong. You listen, folks, you just can't invite God into something like your finances, as huge of a topic as that is to God, with just a simple prayer and think that he's not listening. There is nothing, do you understand? There is nothing that you could ever put together or cultivate in an amazing prayer to God that he wants to give back to you, something that you couldn't even imagine. Do you understand that? That is our God. But our problem is when it's something like this and we're enslaved to debt, we've been bondage for years and it's so overwhelming, we are out of balance, we have no control, we don't know what to do. We do what we did last week. We're like, man, I want to give this a shot. I'm going to come forward. I'm just going to honor God with everything. Would you show me how to do it? And we throw up this long shot prayer and hope that our answer, but here's our problem. We leave, and we do nothing about it. We invite God in, and we say, will you do this? Here's what we need to do. We need to change our thinking to this. We need to pray, expect him to answer. That's called faith. And most importantly, stick around for the answer. Now, what that means is this. We spoke on it in our last series, in our Sun Stand Still series. That means this, that you need to push while you pray. That means that you need to ask God for it, expect him to give it to you, ask God, pray for rain, and then expect that he's going to bring the rain. But it's going to come in his timing. For us, it took 7 to 10 years of hard work. You need to prepare for rain. You need to prepare for rain. And I can't tell you the timetable. I know what it is has been in our life, not just with this financial thing, but with a lot of things. For years, I told you, Ginger and I have mismanaged our money. With credit in particular, early and often, thousands of dollars of debt. And we're not alone. I'm preaching to the choir. I know this is hitting home. So as I mentioned, we determined to make a goal to do something about it. We involved God in this thing. Around 7 to 10 years ago, we began pushing while we prayed, inviting God into it. We began to make the constant corrections. He showed us the things that we need to do. Still be liberally generous. Keep giving. Never change that. Never change that. Keep giving to God. Give to others. Do what I've told you to do. We took FPU about five years ago. Now I thought, why in the world would I want to go listen to a bald guy that is loud? I realized I am a poor financial manager. I need to get some expert advice on how I can put into practice. We began to change the way we got a reference point. We started living on what we needed, not on what we wanted. And it wasn't easy. It has cost us something because we drifted into it. And we started to have to dig our ways out of it. And in this particular series, God started speaking really, really loudly to me. And I've preached a lot on generosity series. And I've never had a problem with being generous. But this particular area with my finances, I've been out of balance. I'm being honest with you. And if you ever think, I know we have some former pastors in the audience today, and they would amen to this. If you ever think that the messenger of the message isn't preached to in preparation, you are jacked up. Because here's the deal. Before I could ever get up here with any conscience whatsoever and spiritual well-being and present to you something that I am not willing to apply in my own life, I am a hypocrite. Run as fast as you can from this church. And this started messing me up. All of it so far. I write messages about 3 to 4 weeks out. I wrote the first one, the very first one. And I went to Ginger and I came home and said, Ginge, this is messing me up. She's like, what do you mean? I wrote week number 4, which is next week. I came home and I shared with her, I'm like, what we do with extra? I'm like, I think he's telling us to give more. And Ginger said, what did you eat last night? I'm not joking. You look her up. She'll be standing by me. She's the hot chick next to me outside while we're shaking hands. Ask her. She will tell you. Every single week I have come home and said, it's messing me up. And I said, I think God's telling us to give some more. And she's like, oh. Now, guys, again, this is hard because we still have debt. And we've been working 7 to 10 years hard digging our way out. But it's still there. It's still substantial. I still see the pile. And I'm making the constant crunches and executing the plan. And God has the audacity to come and say, do this. And Ginger, in all of her infinite wisdom, prays about this with me. And she says, what are some areas? What are some areas? And I'm like, well, for one area, it's this. I think that we need to do this. Another area, it's this. Another one, which you better be here next week. We're rolling out something epic in our church, powerpackcopa.com. This is life-changing. If you couldn't find it in your heart to give to this, I don't know what else you could give to. I'm not joking. This is unbelievable, the opportunity. This is an area. I'm like, geez, I can't preach. This is my next week's message. I can't preach on this unless we're doing this. And guys, you got to understand, in everything that I've ever come to you and asked for you to pray about giving to God financially with your treasures, don't you dare think that when I pull the sword and say, let's do this, that I have not done it myself. I cannot do that. Again, I would be a hypocrite. We've had to examine it. And there's multiple things, not just one thing. And I'm like, Ginger, I think these are some errors. And she's like, all right, let's do it. I'm like, but do you know? That means that we have to bring the snowball payments down to the minimum. I hate that word, minimum payment. It's been bothering me for years. And God's saying this, and initially my question was, God, seriously, God, can we have a conversation about this? And this is really how it went. This is how I talk. God, seriously, can we talk about this? This is something I learned from my parents. I know it's biblical. We've always been generous, and I'm being pretty generous. I really believe that I am being pretty generous here. And I'm trying to give, I'm trying to save, I'm trying to live, and I'm trying to get out of debt, which is what you've taught me to do. Are you sure about this? And God did what he always usually does with me. And he said, Josh, what's your clear objective? Josh, it's all mine anyways. Just do it. Just do it. You're doing good. Keep up the other stuff. Just do it and trust me with it. So I made some constant corrections. Went back to the budget. Did my part. Rearranged a little here. Reallocated some here. And once again, increased our giving capacity. I kid you not, this week, Ginger calls me Tuesday. She says, have you heard from our CPA yet about our tax returns? And I'm like, no, he usually calls. He'll let me know. And she's like, well, I know. He sent the packet already. I usually get back because I'm a pretty liberal and generous giver. And I said, how much? The exact amount of our remaining debt. The exact amount. I'm always blown away at God when he does these things. And I sense your hesitation. When I say that, you're sitting here. Sometimes I hate to use me as an example. And I sense the hesitation. Some of you are out there and like, you golf clap. And I know what you're feeling. Because I have been that way in many circumstances for years. Hearing the amazing faith-based stories. And you're sitting out there like, oh, that's good for you, Josh. And this is what you're thinking, because this is what I have thought on many of those occasions. That is pretty cool. But why can't something like that happen for me? It can. Now listen, it can. Now I'm not sitting here telling you that it's gonna come in the same amount of money or in the same fashion like you just heard my story or the other stories. Guys, this is a God thing that just happened this week, not by coincidence. And that is not why I'm sharing this with you. So you can celebrate this in my life. If you could realize the pain that goes through my body and my heart as your pastor, for you to experience some of the same things that I have experienced or that others that have exuded and demonstrated faith, it hurts me physically when something is being withheld from you because you're unwilling to do something that is simple. It hurts. I experience the same pain, and it's not always in the way of money. I look at three little creatures that mooch off of me for a way of life every single week that happened the same way this just happened this week. I come to church now every Saturday and Sunday and look at a church that didn't just spontaneously combust out of thin air. I'm telling you, this can happen for you in your life, and in particular with where you feel the most enslaved with your finances. It can, if you push while you pray, if you prepare for the rain, if you are willing to work hard and make the constant corrections, if you understand everything is His anyways, if you give when He tells you to give, if you save when He tells you to save, if you do what He tells you to do, not only can this happen for you, God's word tells me and it tells you, when we are obedient with God with our finances, it will happen for you. Don't you dare ever fall victim into believing that our God is not a God of specifics. In the area of your finances and your enslavement with debt, ask Him to get involved with it. Believe, have the faith that He will get involved with it. Then stick around for the answer. Do your part. Will you stand your feet, heads bowed? Nah, keep your eyes open. Look around. I really can't think of a better way to close this particular idea, this particular topic, especially when it really has hit home for a lot of us with credit, debt, consumer, than to give you another very, very strong push about Financial Peace University. I really can't. If you're a bad manager like I was, like Ginger was, you need some help and some practical common sense about making constant corrections. It would do you well. I promise you, it will be the best $90 that you ever spend. It has the potential of bringing you more peace than anything that you have ever put on credit. And if you're willing to take the time to invest on that, I promise you, and it just so happens that this is incredible financial management principles from a godly Christian man. No brainer. For me, it wasn't. So if you got that card, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna sing a song of reflection today. This is a constant correction that you could make. Fill the card out. Got two baskets right here at the off, over the front. In a moment after we pray and we sing, just fill that card out and say, I'm gonna take that step. I'm gonna make that constant correction today. I'm gonna do that class. I'm gonna do that class. Would you consider doing that? Let me pray for you. Jesus, love my friends dearly, and I'm just praying that you would move mighty in their lives. Give somebody the courage today. The courage today to ask you to get involved in their finances. Believe that you will, and then do their part and stick around for the answer. Move in someone's life, God. Move miraculously. Give them their own story to tell. In your son's name.